and it's because of what I'm going to talk about in messaging with the compatibility use study for the Navy. The project in itself probably could have been done better. I agree with that. But I will say this, I know the people here in support, but I've been to every single neighborhood group around there. It's not 100%. You just got to be honest. I represent everyone.
And that's actually a really good point for Mike Kohler, representative, commissioner for District 2 in Escambia County, southwest corner, because he's talking about the Navy Point Oyster Project and how they're all kind of falling apart, or a lot of them are falling apart. And we're going to be removing them, which is fairly expensive. And then the money that originally got spent on putting them in is going to have to be used to do a different project that, you know, we talked about this with Wes Moreno, the county administrator, last week, and kind of, you know, what is the replacement project going to look like? And at this point, this was just the vote to remove the sacks, many of which are falling apart and are causing problems, some of which is if there's like beach-ish areas in Navy Point that people want to use, it's not really safe for them. And he says, look, I know a lot of people in this room are very passionate about removing them, but there are a lot of people who don't agree with removing them, and they don't happen to be here. That's a great observation in general, because it's very easy for county commissioners or any elected official, city council, whatever, to listen to the ones who are angry in the room. And if there's six people angry in the room, well, you know, or 10, that can feel like the whole universe showed up and the whole universe is on one side. The reality is that that's 10 angry people out of, let's see, 330 divided by 5, 60,000 people that Mike Kohler represents. You know, and a county that's 330,000 people or whatever. So it's very easy to let the loud voice of the person in front of you be controlling about what the overall opinion is. And I think in this case, it's fine to, you know, go along with what they want to do. But it's just a good reminder that the few people who show up for public forum, even if there's a lot of people who show up for public forum, sometimes the more there are, the more the other side feels like they don't need to show up, or they shouldn't show up, or they feel intimidated against showing up. As an FYI, so I'm glad he mentioned that. But in this case, they were voting to get rid of the oysters and pick them up and come up with a better project, which is fine. You know, and I've told you ever since the beginning, I didn't really have a strong opinion about this project one way or the other. But certainly if they're dangerous to people, then that makes sense. And if they're not working, then that makes sense. But we need to, you know, I think there's a lot of going back in time and trying to make it seem like we were stupid, or the county was stupid for doing it in the first place, when it seems to have made sense at the time. Okay, but, you know, ideas about what works changes, and we're doing oyster projects even now, or have just finished a whole bunch in other parts of the waterways in the area. But back to Mike Kohler, I appreciate his comments, because he was bringing up something else, and since he's in District 2 where the Navy base is, he's wanting us to be sure that we think about not just this one project, but about the whole issue surrounding water quality around the base.
But what I'm more concerned about is when we voted on this, and y'all voted on it, there wasn't a contingency plan. Silent messaging matters on federal government property. The compatibility use study clearly takes in water quality. All I want is a commitment that we're going to clean up Bioground Day, whatever we do. And that's my problem with this, because it matters for this compatibility use study.
The compatibility use study is one of the components of the Navy deciding not just what happens at NES Pensacola, but whether anything happens at NES Pensacola, because the Navy and its scoring system, they don't really care about how the neighbors like the oysters or any of that kind of stuff. They don't care about the particular neighborhood. They care about the things that are relevant to their base and the community that's on the base.
I'm doing this because I think it's important, the silent messaging with this sometimes. The federal government doesn't look at neighborhoods like this. They look at what boards do. Sometimes they do, depending on the MAC. But the people sitting in Washington, D.C., I spent 3 years there, they're not going to know what's going on in Navy Point. They're going to look at the 18 metrics that are on this and say, do we meet them? And we don't meet a lot of them. But the board has moved on some of these items, like septic to sewer, some of the other things. We haven't done a real good job on Gulf Beach Highway. That's a problem. The schools are a different issue.
And so those are some of the things that they're looking at, including what is the risk? Like, what if we don't do all of this stuff as well as we can?
I would be remiss if I didn't come out and say this, because when I ran, I fought to save that base. And I truly believe NAS Pensacola is at risk. I may be the only one here, but I believe it's at risk, because I was part of the Ocona study. I was in a BRAC 1993, and I want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to save the base. And I'm for water quality, too. So that's my two cents. Thank you.
You know, that's a weird way to hear somebody say it, that he's trying to save the base. But I think that's his mindset, is we ought to always be thinking about how to save the base instead of oh, it's NES Pensacola, nothing can ever happen. No, anything can happen. You know, like, we've got Blue Angels icons up all over the interchange at I-10 and I-110, right? And we've got them on the water tower, and they're like Blue Angels Elementary. And, you know, so obviously the Blue Angels will always be here. That is not guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. And so what he's getting at is we need to constantly be thinking defensively and proactively about what we can do to boost mission, boost the supporting things in the area to make it so that that base continues to be what it has been and what it should be for the long-term future. And that includes things like figuring out water quality at Navy Point. So, yeah, they're going to remove the oysters. The oyster sacks. There's going to be another project that's going to come in that's going to do this better. When we find out those details, of course, we'll let you know. 8:16 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Very, very slow in Navarre, Winhaven. That entire area looks like from Parish Boulevard to Costa Verde Court, very slow. And again, that's eastbound 98. Westbound 98 Gulf Breeze, super slow. It looks like it's crawling on both sides of Avalon and the usual areas of congestion. I'm not showing any accidents, but if you have traffic tips or slowdowns, let us know. 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. This spring, weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. See you at David's.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Disco Kiss takes the stage. Don't miss Disco Kiss. Play the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or lawn chair, but please no pets or glass. And be sure to stop by the Cat Country tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620.
Do you know what the lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga La Gunga.
Apparently, that's not all the Dalai Lama says. there are some other comments as well. Oh, man. I've had no pushback on something I have talked about as strong as the pushback I'm getting on the Dalai Lama comments saying, no, Andrew, it's weird. It's definitely weird.
It's super weird.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. Here, just suck on my tongue for a second. Everything will be fine.
That's what I'm saying.
820 on News Radio 92.3. Look, it sounded innocent to me.
And suck my tongue.
Okay.
Watch this. Hey, David Wayne. Suck my tongue.
And suck my tongue.
See?
Creepy?
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
It's creepy.
Anyway, I'll just leave it alone. Everybody disagrees with me. That's fine. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
The CEO of the Louisville Bank, where five people were killed in a mass shooting Monday, says there's no words that can adequately describe the sadness. Old National Bank CEO Jim Ryan issuing a statement last night asking for prayers for those affected. An expelled Tennessee lawmaker now back on the job, Justin Jones, was one of the two black Democrats kicked out of the Tennessee House last week for protesting gun violence on the floor. The Nashville City Council voted unanimously to reinstate him yesterday. And it's almost time for NBA postseason play. The play-in tournament begins later today. The Atlanta Hawks will face off against the Miami Heat in South Beach.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 821 here on News Radio 92.3 and informative, local, dependable. We were talking about the gun violence roundtable the sheriff had last week. And, you know, whenever the public shows up, there is one part of me that I always want to encourage that. That's good. Okay. People care. They're interested. They're passionate. They want to be a part. They want to have their say. That's good. At the same time, what I sometimes think is, man, I wish people knew more. You know, because there's like kind of the old, like, I know just enough to be dangerous kind of problem, which is, and one of the things, by the way, one of the things that people, citizens, are the most confused about, I mean, it's, once you pay attention to government stuff, it's obvious, they're very confused about who's responsible for what. And it's understandable, because, you know, you've got a county commissioner, and you've got a city councilman, and you've got a state representative. In fact, you might have, and you've got a state senator, and you've got a governor, and you've got a, you know, a U.S. representative, and a U.S. senator, and a president, for goodness sakes. And, you know, and then you've got the sheriff's department, and then you've got the ECUA, and then you've got the school board, and the, you know, and it's, you know, you've got your HOA. And, you know, like, there's all of these different people responsible for all these different things. And sometimes it just feels like, I can't figure it all out. You're responsible. And I think that was what was going on when you had a couple of the citizens showed up at the gun violence roundtable last week. And, you know, out of all the people that showed up, these were the kind of the few loud voices that were frustrated. But I think frustrated about things that, like, they were kind of picking the wrong target here. This is Arnetha Jackson.
The gun permit. Someone mentioned gun permit. I don't understand, if we're fighting to put away the guns, how can you allow someone to pass the law to eliminate this gun permit? I mean, it's like we're taking a step backwards. So I need some clarification on that.
Well, because the sheriff doesn't control that. At best, Michelle Salzman, I think, was in the room, and she would have a say over that, certainly. But, you know, nobody else there would have any influence on that, not really. Similarly, Jerry Royce, on the same topic, you know, like, I thought we were trying to solve gun violence, but y'all here failed us with the gun permit.
The law enforcement in this community let us down. In this state, they let us down. We should never have an open permit and walk around here and carry guns like we're doing. Our law enforcement should have spoke up. You can't even protect your own officers now. If I was a police walking up to a gun, or just a normal, everyday, and somebody gonna shoot the police because everybody allowed to carry a gun. You let us down. You let us down. I'm laying at the foot of everybody in this country, every law enforcement, every district attorney in the state of Florida, that you let us down. The gun violence that you see in this community is just the beginning. It's gonna get worse. You know it, and I know it too. It's gonna get worse.
I certainly hope that is not the case, and, you know, we will see. Obviously, and no, it's true that the sheriff had an opinion. Okay, but still, the basic idea of this is not that all of a sudden everybody is allowed to carry guns. You just don't have to have a permit for it. Same restrictions apply on who's allowed to have them. And of course, the whole idea is that ordinary citizens, especially people who might not have the resources and means to go get a permit very easily just because it's expensive. I actually almost didn't get one because of the cost, honestly, because I thought, well, that's, you know, that's not a little bit of money. And am I ever really going to need this? Most likely not. I mean, most likely I bought a gun that I'll never use, and I bought a permit that I'll never use, and I go to the inconvenience of carrying, and I'll never draw that gun ever in my whole entire life. Most likely.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, of course. Hopefully. But nevertheless, what you do is you prepare for the unlikely. You prepare for that. And, you know, this would allow people, without having to pay that money, at least for the permit, and then to get that. So, you know, I understand where he's coming from. I understand his frustration. I just don't know that he's blaming the right targets exactly. It'd be the lawmakers, not so much the, you know, the people who are the Board of County Commissioners or the city councilmen or the police chief or anything like that. 826 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I was looking up the prices for permits off the top.
I thought it was 80
off the top
bucks.
Of my head. Yeah, it was a lot. It was more than...
Yeah,
20.
And then if you have to pay for a class, if you do.
Right, which is a great idea, by the way. Those classes
take them,
are
yes.
fantastic. Then you don't shoot with the cupcake. You'll see what I mean. That's the cupcake.
I got you.
Okay, Executive Landscaping, big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. Highway 98 eastbound Navarre in Winhaven, it is picking up now. It's still slow, but not as bad as it was. Still slow, though, in Tiger Point, 98 westbound. Now, this is both sides of Avalon this morning. 437-1620, if you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. And by the way, I think it's easy to be confused about who's responsible for what. And good leadership, you know, when you call the wrong person, good leadership says, hey, you know what? That's not my responsibility, but let me kind of, you know, help you find the right person to talk to. And I think our, generally speaking, our leaders do that. But yeah, I mean, people, it's just so confused about who's responsible for what happens. 827 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going? Oh, this is just kind of a weird little note, and so obviously I will share it with you. But we've got a push now to say that a bill that is kind of one of the election reforms issues in Florida, and you know, kind of trying to cut down on election fraud and people who shouldn't be voting, who you know, not really eligible to, is they're saying that it is a hardship for people to have to actually physically sign their name with a pen because you know that's too much. I'm serious. Under Florida law, people without an active driver's license have to sign their voter registration form with a pen instead of being able to do it digitally, okay? The law, which is enforced by all 67 county supervisors of election, prevents voters from registering through a website like vote.org, the mobile tool, which uses digital signatures. And the groups that are opposed to this, vote.org, Florida Alliance for Retired Americans, Florida State Conference, NAACP, they're all suing Florida Secretary of State, Cord Byrd, over the signature requirement, saying the requirement serves no purpose other than to impede some Floridians' right to vote. Okay, I want everybody who's informed to vote. Sometimes, I'll even say it, I'm willing to take the people who are not so informed. Because, I mean, if you put information requirements on people, you're just going to exclude so many people. But listen, the idea that we ought to, you know, go to everybody's doorstep with the ballot and beg them to fill it out, at a certain level, a little bit of initiative is okay. And some of the things that we require of people, you know, the hardship, so to speak, I think about what was risked by, you know, Afghan citizens who would go and vote and risk getting shot or blown up, and they'd proudly display their, you know, their purple thumb. And, you know, here in the United States of America, it seems like anything we ask people to do that's beyond just here, sit on your couch and tell me what you think for voting is like that's somehow racist or that's somehow discriminatory. I think, well, okay, we have a legitimate concern that we have vote fraud. And we want to make sure that people aren't doing that or that non-people aren't doing that. And here's the requirement level. But your objection is that a physical signature on an envelope with a pen is the problem? Come on. That's a pretty low bar. 829 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I will, the Creighton Walmart, this is a semi-personal note, but also it's kind of going on in our community. You know, the Creighton Walmart is going through this massive redesign. The store looks great. Y'all have got to figure out these the cash registers that don't have people with them. Because I was in there last night, and there was like 30 people waiting in line. Because 80% of the do-it-yourself checkouts, you know, were not functioning or were closed down early or whatever. You know, come on. I'm not asking you to staff it. Just turn it on. Turn it on. And by the way, you know, when you used to go to a gas station, you'd pay more for full service, mm-hmm. or you'd get a discount for self-service. Just a thought for the checkout line.
I'm Therese Crowley. President Biden getting ready to climb into the Beast, his armored vehicle for the motorcade to Joint Base Andrews, and his flight to Belfast to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Peace Accords. But MI5 has raised the terror alert level for Northern Ireland to severe after strong intelligence that terror attacks are being planned. China claims it's ready to fight and is stepping up military intimidation around Taiwan. Congresswoman Nancy Mace urging the Biden team to send Taiwan the military weapons they've already paid for to fight off China.
Taiwan doesn't have a week to wait before the Biden administration makes a decision like they did on the spy balloon. And our allies in Japan and Korea, they're going to be counting on us. And what are we going to do? No one knows at this juncture.
On Fox and Friends. And just like that, COVID is over. Before taking off, Biden quietly signed the resolution terminating the COVID emergency. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, cloudy skies. It is 63 degrees in Pensacola this morning. The Pensacola Community Redevelopment Agency has paused a daily accruing fine on the developers of the Imperium building downtown. The Imperium is a townhouse complex on West Government Street. Developers bought that property from the CRA in 2018 under the condition they would build at least 10 units within a certain time frame, but only completed six of those units so far. The developers have already been fined more than $1.1 million. The CRA has now suspended that daily fine so the city can negotiate with the developers as they prepare for a potential sale on the back half of that property on Intendencia Street. It was never developed. A Pensacola man facing traffic charges after a crash that shut down traffic on the Mid Bay Bridge in Destin last weekend. 36-year-old Austin Connor charged with reckless driving and not having a license or a proof of insurance, as well as a probation violation because of a previous DUI charge. Florida Highway Patrol says Connor was driving a truck on Sunday when he crashed into a van. Nobody was hurt in the wreck, but it did shut down traffic on the Mid Bay Bridge in Destin last Sunday. 53-year-old Pensacola man arrested on allegations that he tried to secretly record two children showering. Joseph Holbert, arrested last Thursday on lewd and lascivious behavior, child cruelty, and video voyeurism charges. According to an arrest report, two kids were showering in an outdoor shower after swimming at a home in Escambia County when they noticed a wire sticking through a wall. That wire was reportedly attached to a remote camera that was attached to a cell phone. One of the children said they saw Holbert in the crawl space under the house with a cell phone connected to that camera. When an adult confronted Holbert, he denied the accusations and left the home, reportedly. Escambia County deputies say they took the remote camera and cable as evidence, Holbert now being held on $700,000 bond. The Alabama state trooper that was injured in a shootout on I-65 in Escambia County, Alabama yesterday is expected to make a full recovery. Officials with the Alabama Department of Law Enforcement Agency say Corporal Jeremy Alford was the trooper that was shot in that incident, but he managed to ensure public safety despite being injured. Alford shot three suspects during the exchange of gunfire, killed one and injured two. The Pensacola skateboarding community now rallying around the family of 12-year-old Avery Stark. He's the boy who was tragically killed last Wednesday while skateboarding near 8th Avenue and Wright Street when he was hit by a car. Waterboys Surf and Skate Shop organizing a disc golf event that's going to happen this Wednesday evening. They're selling honorary mementos as well. And there's also a GoFundMe page that's already raised more than $15,000. Well, there's money available for first-time home buyers all across the state. Governor DeSantis has signed new legislation doubling the amount of money for two popular home buyer programs.
The median home price is currently in our area is $320,000. Typically, I tell first-time home buyers you're going to have closing costs typically around 3-4% of whatever the purchase price is.
Mike Dolan from the Pensacola Association of Realtors there, and he says that the two programs can help first-time home buyers with those closing costs. The legislation allocating money for the SHIP program, which helps with costs for buying a home with income limits, and also the Hometown Heroes program. They provide closing cost and down payment assistance for frontline workers, teachers, law enforcement, firefighters, and such, as well as military veterans. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Very slow in Gulf Breeze, the Tiger Point area specifically. This is both sides. Avalon 98 westbound is tied up. This is brought to you by the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a nice day today with temperatures warming up in the highs near 74 degrees, 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. As you go into Wednesday, rain chance will slowly increase with a 20% chance of rain, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 65. For your Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely, 80% chance of rain with a high near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it looks like those clouds are starting to part. Partly cloudy now, and 63 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton. Your money now. Markets today are mostly unchanged. The Dow up 3801 at 33,624.53. S&P 500 up 448 at 41,1408. The NASDAQ up 0.46 at 12.84.82. The U.S. 10-year bond rate today at 3.421%. Gold prices up as well at 2015-10. Silver prices at 25.02.5 today. On the heels of strikes by three of Rutgers University's labor unions, there's now a fourth considering following in their footsteps, a strike already underway at the three main Rutgers campuses. About 10,000 faculty members walked off the job yesterday, but now there's a new union that represents another 2,500 facilities, residential, and dining services workers at the university considering a strike pledge. Consumers expecting to see a jump in inflation in the next few months. New survey by the New York Federal Reserve shows consumers are expecting prices to rise another 0.5% in the year ahead. Marks the first time the short-term outlook increased since October. It also equates to an annual inflation rate of about 4.7%, well above the Fed's 2% target. Federal judge now ordering that more than 30 lawsuits filed against Norfolk Southern after that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, be consolidated. The consolidated legal action will work to hold the rail line accountable for the derailment and the hazardous chemicals that were dumped into the area in Ohio. It's 8:37, News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Home Outlet has the new quality in-stock products you need to keep your project on time and the prices to keep you on budget. Refresh your bath with the Denmark Solid White Vanity, including a marble top and 3-inch backsplash, just $214 each. Add a Geneva freestanding bathtub, value priced at $899 each. Visit your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet for the guaranteed lowest price on the products you need to reimagine your bath space, or shop online at homeoutlet.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So we got word the other day, yesterday, that Tupperware, you know, the company, the one that makes all of the, what's the word I want, overpriced.
look,
if you sell them, if you're a, you know, multi-level marketer, I have no problem with you or what you do. I've done that before, not for Tupperware specifically, but no issue other than it's just real expensive. So my question for you is 437-1620. They're having some financial woes at Tupperware, and they might not even exist anymore in a little while. Who knows? These things happen. Companies come and go, even after, 77 years, I think, they've been in business. My question for you is much more basic than this, though. When you have leftovers, assuming that you don't just throw them out, which means I'm not sure if we can even talk the same language, but if you're a leftover discarder, you can feel free to acknowledge that. But assuming that you're a leftover keeper, okay, like all the rest of us, in what kind of container? Tell me the good and the bad for the leftovers in your fridge. 437-1620. Do you have a, you know, are you like standardized? Do you have just one kind of container in a bin somewhere, possibly underneath the silverware drawer? Hint, hint. that contains all of them? Or do you have a wide variety of containers acquired over the years from various things that you've, I don't know, sort of eaten all the sour cream out of and then cleaned up? Because, you know, why not keep that little tub? 437-1620, because you never know when they come in handy, you know? Mm-hmm. Candy?
Well, okay, you know my husband, and you can't ever send him to buy anything because he thinks, like, bigger is better, or we need this, or we need that. Like, I keep mine, I do. I get the cheap ones that you can see through because I'll forget that it's in there. I used to do butter dishes,
okay,
and sour cream dishes.
Opaque versus translucent,
correct,
I gotcha, right?
Yes, yep. And golly, I love Darren more than anything, but like if you send him to buy anything, like a feminine product, for example, you'll come back with new seating for the living room because it's like that doesn't make any sense. And he did the same thing with his Tupperware. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm not going to go into it, but you know what I'm saying. And they are see-through. They're called wontons, and they're like the something that you would get wonton soup in. If you went to a Chinese restaurant or whatever, they would give you these. We have 400 of the. I know that you think I'm joking too. Ask Tammy Ward.
Oh, I know what you mean. They're like it's a soup container.
Correct.
And it's translucent. It's very clear plastic.
That's right, plastic
with
lid,
with
plastic.
A lid and kind of a reinforced lip around them too.
Mm-hmm. You
I
need
know exactly
some?
When
because
you,
I have some.
No.
We have 400 of these, and it's like, well, we're gonna make gumbo for the army. Dude, but they're great because you can see through them and we never run out and we don't miss the lids. So thank you, Darren.
I think to some degree this is like, how close are you to the Depression? You know, like I'm two
right.
generations from the Depression. So my grandparents were Depression kids. So every scrap of aluminum foil you keep, you know, and the newspapers and the covers of the magazines and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, your parents from that generation, baby boomers, were raised that way. So they think the same way. And I'm very much a food scrap retainer for sure. You know,
do you keep plastic bags? That's another topic. But
yes,
yeah.
But to recycle them generally. We don't keep them to keep them.
Yeah, there's a difference.
437-1620. So, yeah, I am absolutely a keep every last little bit of food. You know it's bad when there's mold growing on it. that's just true. But then what kind of container do you keep it in? Let's see. Somebody here says, my container for leftovers is called my belly. Excellent. Also not translucent. Somebody here says, the KFC bowls. There's all kinds of restaurants that they give you food in containers that are fantastic for Chinese food that comes in. It's the black bottom tub with the clear plastic top.
Right.
Oh, those are the best.
Those are the best. they sell those with everything like Publix, Winn-Dixie, all these little, you're going to get the pre-made fettuccine Alfredo or potatoes. They have those. I use those more than the
what's great about them is, you know, they're rectangular, not circular, so there's less wasted space. They are sizable, so they keep the larger amount of leftovers. They are translucent in the top, so you can look inside and see. Mm-hmm. Everything about them is fantastic. No, I totally agree. Somebody here says, I use glass. It doesn't stain mostly, but I do have a few that I can toss if needed.
Rockefeller over there using glass.
I like
those
olive jars.
Great.
Old olive jars are a good example of that. Like they're great for sauces and things. You don't do the old.
I guess I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, no,
I buy my olives in cans.
My problem is always then like okay, so I've got three good ones, you know, and then I've got a fourth olive jar that we just used up. I guess now I got to throw that out, you know, and I always feel bad, but I can't keep them all. Because you run out of space if you keep them on, then you wind up on a show. They call it hoarding. Somebody here says,
don't look in my Jeep. It's your wife's birthday. Hold on.
I use Tupperware with the Ready Whip logo. I'm not sure I understand what that means, but that's okay.
Oh, like the Cool Whip containers.
Okay. All right. Of course. Those are a little thin for my taste. They're not very durable. You know, they're a little bit flimsy, the Cool Whip containers. Mm. Somebody here says, my mother has a full set of Tupperware courtesy of Cool Whip and Country Crock.
Right.
Oh, And the funny thing is here I'm being a snob about the Cool Whip, and yet, like, the sour cream container, the little, those ones are fantastic.
They
because
are.
They're fairly thick. They're always tight-fitting. They stack on each other very well in your refrigerator. I only store leftovers in glass containers like Pyrex. The plastic seems to change the flavor. I haven't noticed, but, you know, catch me in 20 years. I never microwave in plastic due to potential contaminants. Do you microwave in plastic?
Yeah, but I don't think you're supposed to.
Yeah, I know you're not supposed to, and I do it anyway.
So I agree, and I agree with a Pyrex person.
Oh, another person for Pyrex. Pyrex is great, too.
Pyrex is great. We have some. I
would not keep the rubber top on that, by the way, when you put it in the microwave.
As it turns out, yeah, or the oven. Ask me how I know.
Oh, God.
I know.
My husband yells at me for sticking the plate in the fridge with a paper towel over it. Oh.
You monster.
What? Okay, waste of space. It doesn't keep it sealed from air. It's going to dehydrate and or go bad, and there's nothing else you can put on top of it, and it's going to make your whole fridge stink.
Not if you're going to eat it later.
Do you not even think these things through, people? Somebody here says, but I like to chill my garbage before discarding. Oh, lunch and meat containers. Now that, yeah, I get that. That's good. Ziploc bags when your mom doesn't trust you to return the Rubbermaid containers. Oh, that is an insult. Like, you go to Thanksgiving or Easter dinner, and mom's like, you want some leftovers? Oh, sure. And she gives it to you in, you know, Ziploc bags. That's a mark of distrust. That's a personal relationship foul right there.
My in-laws, who are the greatest people in the world. I love Ellen and James Boyd. But no, like, I buy some of the kind, the Rubbermaids to bring over so that they can keep the leftovers in their fridge, because that's where we cook, because they don't have 10 zillion cats.
Good one.
And she always washes them and gives them back. Aww. So I have to have the conversation. Ellen,
we're
look
doing
me in the
this
eye.
For a reason.
Ellen, look
Come
at
on.
Me. Give me some sign you understand.
Somebody says Pyrex is great till you drop it on the floor. No, there's a problem there. That's right. All right, Candy, tell them about traffic.
As we take a look, let me just double check everything. It's still not showing any accidents. Good news. And looks like 98 is still a little slow in Tiger Point. Now, this is westbound, but this is it looks like it's cleared up just on the other side of Avalon. East of Avalon, westbound, still kind of a standstill this morning. And that's really the only slowdown that I'm seeing. Certainly, if you know different, have a traffic tip, 437-1620, text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, we're always talking about Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty and all the homes they sell. And I was having a conversation with her the other day, and she made an interesting point. She said, you know, people are always looking for a realtor, and they kind of find themselves, all of a sudden they need a realtor, and, you know, they might have heard me get talked about 50 times, but it's at that moment they need to remember, right? Because, you know, they've got their friend who's a realtor or somebody, you know, and it's kind of like, oh, who do I know? Who do I know? Okay. Out of all the realtors in the area who are registered on the MLS, 3,000 of them, 3,000 realtors listed on the MLS, and Christine is one of them, okay? 1,600 of those, as in more than half, have not sold a single home yet this year. First quarter's over, 3 months, zero homes. Because most real estate agents, the vast majority, sell 1 to 2 homes the whole year. That just is. Well, do you want that person? And look, no offense, you know, I have relatives who've done this, I get it. But is that the best person to sell your home? Or do you want somebody like Christina who sold 200 last year? Because she says, look, there's 20 realtors on the list who have sold more than 20 so far in the first quarter, 7 that have sold more than 30, and she has 36. And she's got 29 others under contract. So when you're thinking about the importance, the urgency, wanting to get the best price, all that stuff, do you want to go to somebody who sells a home or two a year? Or do you want to go to somebody who's got 29 under contract now and already sold 36 this year? That's all I'm saying. Okay, go ahead and interview a handful, talk to different people, that's fine. Just be sure Christina Leavenworth is on that list. 723-9158, 723-9158.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. The Escambia County Sheriff Foundation will host their very first Cops, Cars, and Crawfish event Saturday from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Five Flags Speedway. We'll have crawfish plates, hamburgers, hot dogs, there will be a car show, and we'll show the movie Cars on our giant screen. So come on out to Five Flags Speedway Saturday and support the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation's Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. For more information, go to the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation Facebook page. See you there.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
House Bill 733 states that starting in July 1st of 2026, that instructional time for middle school will start no earlier than 8 o'clock, and for high school no earlier than 8:30. It also states that districts and charters will discuss the health, safety, and academic impacts of sleep deprivation and the benefits of later start times for our students.
So this is a bill we told you about before. If they do implement this, and it looks like they're going to, the 8:30 start time for high school, the 8 o'clock for middle school, it doesn't seem likely it's going to affect us a lot. There are only a couple of schools in our area that would be affected by that. But I think this is a big deal because you're talking about, loads of high schools in the state and charter schools as well that are out of compliance with this. And all of a sudden, the state government is just going to mandate a start time for everybody, regardless of what the circumstances or the justifications or the structure they've got in place to operate the schools the way they currently have them set up.
About 48% of public high schools and I think 26 or 28% of charter schools start before 7:30. And so that's a pretty good chunk of our high schools. And within the analysis, there's some additional breakdowns as well. And so that's the reason for the 3 years. They need time to really hash out the details, the logistics.
And so this is John Paul Temple. He's the representative that's offering this. And I think part of my objection to this is it's kind of like he's acknowledging that this is a bad plan, but if you just give it enough time, it won't seem like a bad plan, basically. Just we'll solve this by magic fairy wand waving that in 3 years we can figure this out. Bruce Anton is a representative responding.
I'm in Orange County, and this would just really mess up our bus scheduling. And there are estimates that this will cost $30 million in new buses, and we'll need another 100 new bus drivers that we can find.
Into a shortage we already don't have enough of, right? You have to find more bus drivers because a lot of times what they'll do is, one bus driver goes to the elementary school route, then he goes again to the middle school route, and then he goes again to the high school route. That's why you have all the weird start and end times. We already don't have enough bus drivers. So we're now going to have even more bus routes needing to be run. And at the same time, and therefore, how do you solve that problem? Agreed, it's going to cost you things. You also have questions about, what about when kids have to work and this cuts into their work time? Because if you start later, you end later, right?
Have you had any thoughts about how students you have to work to help support their families?
will be impacted by this bill?
Okay, that's a fair question from Representative Allison Tant. His response, very unsatisfying.
What it gets down to is what's most important. We have lots of decisions, lots of things that we have to deal with, and what's most important. And when it comes to the education of our students, it's their health and safety, and it's the academics. And so they may, they potentially could lose a little bit of that work time in the afternoon, but they can make it up, hopefully maybe working on the weekends or get working with OJT in high schools as well.
Oh, man, is that an inadequate answer? Listen, I am very, very rarely going to say the following, okay? But I'm going to say it here. That is the privileged answer of a middle-class white guy. Ah, it's no big deal. They can just make it up on the weekends. Just, you know, some of these situations, the kids work to support the household. Oh, they just pick up extra hours somewhere else. It's no big deal. Oh, that just, that is not an adequate answer to this question. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it's slow on 98, still westbound in Tiger Point, west of Avalon to Oriole Beach. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. But I do want to give Representative Temple the chance to explain the bill in terms of what he thinks the benefits will be.
My background is in education. I've been a principal. I've sat in on many truancy meetings. The studies do show that by adjusting these times, it does improve the tardy rate, particularly for our middle school and high school students. And so on top of the well-being, on top of the academics, they're getting to school on time, they're getting there rested. So it does have a positive impact on the overall well-being of the students.
Is it better for kids to get more sleep? Well, duh, of course. Is it the state's job to set the start time for schools across the state, especially when so many of them are out of compliance? You know, the better way to handle this would be to work through the education department and say, okay, here's the issue that we're having. And here are the school districts where they start late. What can you do to work with them? Can we maybe, is there a way to do it? And what are the questions? What are the problems? What are the logistical challenges? As opposed to, God, it just seems like over and over and over again, Tallahassee's answer is, oh, we'll do it for you. We'll figure it out for you. I don't care what your local circumstances are. We'll do it for you. And half the time it's, we'll do it for you, but you're going to pay. We're going to make you do it. We're not going to fund it. I mean, the amount of preemption, the amount of non-local control, and this sort of one-size-fits-all for everybody everywhere in the state, which we know the state is tremendously diverse. Diverse in population groups, diverse in, you know, the kinds of work that's being done in different areas, rural, urban, you know, farmland versus tourism, all of that kind of stuff. Those are all things that factor into this. So I would say no. I just don't see why you need to start saying for the whole state what these things ought to be. But like I said, it's not going to affect us much here because it's only a couple of schools and they're only barely out of compliance with it. As like I said, when I checked the start times, that's what I found. 8:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Time for
Future News.
Future News, when we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. All right, is the Dalai Lama going to stay in his job?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well done. Will the second black lawmaker, the other Justin, will he get his reappointment basically on Wednesday?
Yes, he will.
Yeah, he will. Easy peasy. Will they both get reelected when an actual election comes around?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're going to run a special election. Both these guys are going to get elected. And will the Tennessee GOP, will they, I don't know, repent would be the term I would use as a Christian. Will they realize they were stupid? God, I would hope so. I don't maybe have the highest of hopes for that. But that's certainly,
Tennessee. I mean, what do you expect? Roll Tide.
All right. Well,
Nate Riggins.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Now that we have seen one middle school teacher apparently running a not-for-profit fight club in her class, will others take note and follow suit?
I hope not. God, not-for-profit. I can see all the impact grants flying out now.
That's exactly right. Well, we're just keep teaching kids, you know, kids self-defense and personal responsibility and how to work out their aggressions. I mean, they're middle schoolers. They need it. Not that way. Not that way, man. Listen up.